Dr. Christian's office. Oh, Mr. Stevens, hello. You're the family cook tonight, aren't you? You were? I don't understand. What happened?
The Vaseline program presenting a new Dr. Christian prize play called A Gentleman of Mystery by Rebecca Bennett of Indianapolis, Indiana, starring Jean Hersholt as Dr. Christian with Helen Clare as Judy Price.
Oh, and you forgot to use a pot holder and burned your hand? My, how painful. I hope you put Vaseline petroleum jelly on it right away. You did? That's fine. Oh, yes, indeed. Vaseline petroleum jelly is ideal for all minor burns. Do you know that in a study of industrial burns at the Detroit Henry Ford Hospital, among 84 local dressings used, petroleum jelly promoted the quickest recovery? Yes, it certainly is excellent. But there's nothing better than Vaseline petroleum jelly for household burns. Yes, for any minor burns, just spread Vaseline petroleum jelly on fine mesh gauze and place over the burn. Bandage firmly, but not tightly. And if the burn is deep or covers a wide area, always call the doctor. Oh, in all the stores, Vaseline petroleum jelly in handy tubes or 10-cent jars. Oh, call any time, Mr. Stevens. Yes, of course. Goodbye.
And so to our prize play, A Gentleman of Mystery. And the drama begins in the living room of the old Halsey mansion, where the rich tapestries, the needlepoint chairs, and the glowing gas logs in the marble-tiled fire grate give an air of elegance, suggestive of the turn of the century. But the members of the Halsey family present in the room as the curtain rises are strictly of the vintage of 1945. They are Mrs. Ruth Halsey, her son Jack, her daughter Diane, their friend the young inventor Nick Gladnick, and Dr. Christian and Judy.
Now then, you sent for me. Which one of you is sick?
No one's sick, except heart sick.
We thought we ought to consult someone outside the family who could look at things without prejudice.
What is the trouble?
It's Father.
Gerald is wired, but he's coming back.
Gerald Halsey, you're turning to Riversand?
Not the Gerald Halsey, the famous author.
Infamous, if you ask me.
Jack.
Well, what am I to think of a father who writes stuff I'd be ashamed to find my own sister reading?
I confess I've never read his books.
Well, neither have I. But I thought he was considered one of our leading authors.
Oh, yes. The highbrows call his stuff art and realism. Just smart-aleck sensationalism to me.
Suppose we leave his literary merits to the critics and get on with our discussion. What are we going to do about it?
That's the $64 question.
It seems to me that is for you, Mrs. Halsey, to decide. You're still his wife.
Yes, I never believed in divorce.
He has supported you, of course.
He has utterly ignored us all these years.
We might have starved if it hadn't been for grandfather and grandmother.
Mother Halsey wanted us here, wanted her grandchildren near her.
She did everything for us until the Depression forced the tool works to shut down and grandfather died of worry.
And then we had to divide up the house and rent rooms.
And still he didn't show up, not even when grandmother died. But now when we're getting along all right, he comes back.
Maybe he's homesick.
Oh, no. He's heard the works are open and making money on war contracts. Nick and I get things started, then the absentee owner returns and takes charge.
Oh, that does seem a bit hard to take.
You mean he owns everything?
The house, the tool works, all we have. Gerald's parents only held the estate while they lived. It was willed to Gerald by his grandfather.
But the law would force Gerald to make adequate provision for you, Mrs. Halsey.
I wouldn't accept anything from Gerald now.
I'll say you won't. I can take care of my mother.
You'll always be welcome with Nicky and me, Mother.
Well, sure, Mrs. Halsey. Don't let that influence you.
I'm thinking of Gerald.
Mother, you can't mean you still love him.
I hardly remember what loving him was like, but... Oh, I know it sounds strange to you young people today, but you see, I was brought up to believe that being a wife entailed certain obligations.
I know how you feel, Mrs. Halsey.
Well, I should think a wife who'd been deserted for so many years need feel little obligation.
I suppose my true obligation is to the children. And with them feeling as they do...
Well, don't do anything on our account, Mother.
You do just as you want.
But what about Nicky?
Me, Mrs. Halsey?
You think Mr. Halsey wouldn't approve of Leanne marrying Nicky?
We wouldn't let that stop us.
Oh, I know, Mrs. Halsey. It's been in the back of my mind, too.
I don't believe I understand.
Perhaps you don't remember, Dr. Christian, when Gerald Halsey's car ran over a child in Hunkytown back at the tool works. I was that child. That's why I've got this thick sole on my shoe, why I'm not in uniform alongside Jack.
Yes, I do remember. There was a great deal of bitter feeling among the mill workers.
My dad was going to kill Gerald Halsey. Led a crowd to the house, this house, to get him.
That was the reason Gerald skipped town. I do believe he was terribly afraid.
And the fear lingered even after the danger was passed, so that he never wanted to see his hometown again.
But now he knows Dad's dead and he's not afraid of a limping cripple like me.
Nicky, dear.
I doubt if Gerald knows what's happened here in the years he's been away. He lived abroad until the war, you know. He never knew that his father paid for Nicky's medical care and later for his education, and that he and the children have been good friends for years. He'll be surprised to find him renting a room here and working in the tool works with Jack.
And if father takes over, Nicky will quit just when he was getting his new process perfected.
I had hoped to have it ready soon, but without the shop to experiment...
And the government needs that process. It'd be a crime to drive Nick out now.
Are you sure Mr. Halsey would expect you to go, Nick?
I don't know, but I'm not anxious to welcome him as a father-in-law or as an employer. I'd like to take Diane out of this house tonight and never meet her father at all.
We talked of all going quietly away, letting Gerald find the house empty. But I'm not sure.
We could go without you, Mother.
No, no, no. You must stick together.
Dr. Christian, what should we do?
My advice is wait till you see him. Talk this over with him.
Now, we might have known you'd say that.
He's right. It's only fair to see and hear him.
But Mother, what shall we say to him?
I'll say plenty to him.
Oh, no, Jack. That won't do. Be civil to him until your mother decides.
Well, that's very good advice.
Father, Mr. Halsey, we didn't hear you come in.
Well, fortunately, or I might have missed your interesting debate.
You've been eavesdropping.
And the master of the house comes home, opens his own front door, and walks in. And if he chances to hear what's being said about him, he's called an eavesdropper.
Come on, Julie, I think we'd better...
Oh, no, I beg you to stay, Doctor. Since your advice is valued so highly, I wish you should hear all the facts.
Very well, I'll stay.
It's a pity you've concerned yourself so over what to do about me, as I shall be here only a few days.
Then you haven't come home to stay?
Stay in this provincial hole? Certainly not. Now, I'm leaving for South America soon, where I hope I can write in peace. I haven't been able to write since the war forced me to leave France.
That's the only good thing I ever heard of the Nazis accomplishing.
Jack, be still.
Why, thank you, daughter. I presume you're my daughter.
Yes.
You're very lovely. I must take you with me sometime if ever again I find a spot fit for a lovely woman.
You'll take her nowhere.
So, you're going to marry her and forbid it, eh? It's a rather cheap revenge, marrying my daughter despite me.
Father, how dare you say such a thing?
Why, your loyalty is as noble as your pity, my dear. Really, it's not your duty to pay penance for my sin.
I ought to sock you for that.
Oh, now let it pass, children. What was it you wanted to tell us, Halsey?
Well, just that you've been laboring under a delusion, apparently, thinking me a decrepit, lonely old man seeking a comfortable place to die among familiar scenes. Only my son seems to have interpreted my motives shrewdly. Kind of like your grandfather you are, my boy. Hard-headed and two-fisted.
I get to the point, Halsey.
Oh, very well. It's just that I'm short of funds, so I've come to claim Mother's estate. That's what brings me home, as Ruth so charmingly put it.
It's yours, of course.
I should be able to dispose of my holdings here in a few days and get back to New York to sale.
You're selling the works?
And this house?
Oh, come now. Don't tell me you young people are sentimental about such things.
Listen, we held on to the works through the Depression and everything. Grandfather wanted it kept in the family.
Your grandfather was an economic royalist lad. As the heir apparent, I renounced the throne.
We will pack our personal belongings and leave tonight.
Oh, you're quite welcome to stay in the house till it's sold, Ruth. Afterward, I'll make provision for you, of course.
I do not wish to stay under this roof another night.
Nor me. Get your things, Diana.
Well, you'll have a hard time finding a place to lay your proud heads. The hotel's full. That's why I came out here. I had no intention of sleeping on a park bench while I owned a perfectly good house.
You and your mother can come home with me, Diane.
Oh, thanks, Judy.
Nick and I'll find a place to bunk, I guess. Even a park bench will be warmer and cozier than it is here. Come on, Nick. Let's pack.
Yeah.
Oh, let me help you, Diane.
All right. The quicker the better.
General Halsey, what kind of a man are you?
A civilized, rational human being. Why?
You're behaving like a hurt little boy, covering his hurt with impudence.
So the country doctor's been reading Freud.
I don't need Freud to recognize your symptoms.
You medicos amuse me. With all your intimacy with birth and death, you know so little of life. You've never taken time really to live, you know.
You call it living, hurting everyone who interferes with your selfish pleasures? Is that all you know of life?
Life is energy, sensation, mechanical function. Introduce sentimental inhibitions and you interfere with those functions. Result, emotional chaos, unhappiness. I chose long ago not to be unhappy.
Regardless of the unhappiness you brought upon others.
Now look, what if I had been kind, as you'd call it, tonight? Would it have made the final break any easier if I'd let them think for a while that I'd come back to them? It would have been a lie, and...
Would it?
Well, of course. Why should I want to come back to this dull, smug old town, this dreary, fancy old house?
Weren't you ever happy in this house, Joe?
Well, I suppose so. When I was a kid, I had everything except friends. Other kids shied away from me, awed or jealous of our money. It was rather lonely.
So you did reckless things to show you didn't care.
Well, I wanted some fun out of life. You see, the old place hasn't changed much. Same old furniture, same clock on the mantle. By Jove, those old collie dogs on the tiles of the grate. I haven't thought of those for years.
You liked them?
I used to make up stories about them. Named them Towser and Bowser. I never had a real dog. Housekeeper said it made too much work. That's why I struck that boy that day. I was trying not to hit a dog. I didn't see the child till he was lying there all bloody.
But you didn't stop to help him.
Well, I was in Hunky Town, and they came swarming out, shaking their fists and talking gibberish. I had to run for my life. The whole town was against me. I'd have been lynched or sent to prison if I'd stayed here. And it wasn't my fault. It was just this narrow, prejudiced, hypocritical town.
So you vowed never to come back.
You think I'm a coward, don't you?
I think you are a very lonely, unhappy man.
And they say there's nothing in a name, Dr. Christian. But save your charity, I've led a very happy life, a full life. And I've tried in my books to help others find happiness through self-expression, but the world isn't ready for true civilization. No, it must still fight and kill for its notions and emotions. That's why I'm leaving again in search of peace.
Are you happy always running away from unpleasant realities?
Well, why should a sane man stay in a madhouse? I saw the last war. Mud, blood, horror, futility. I want no part of this one.
Did you do anything to make the last war less futile, to make its ideals come true?
What can one man do, surrounded as he eternally is by fools?
If more men of your generations had got together to make it their concern, your son might not now be going off to war.
My son, a soldier. Off on the same crazy carousel I rode. What for? Who knows?
I think Jack knows what he's fighting for.
Yeah, to make the world safe for what you call the American way of life. For right and liberty. For his country. All the old outworn slogans.
You know what has happened to Germany? What dreadful ruin her policy of aggression has brought her.
Nevertheless, greedy, brutal men will still take what they want of the world. They always have, they always will.
If free men let them. Surely you see that our country is ready to make any sacrifice to keep our freedom.
Yes, I know. But I'm a citizen of the world. To me, patriotism is just a child's game of not getting out of bounds lest some bogey get you.
Nothing sacred to you, Halsey.
Sacred? Sacred's such a primitive word, Doctor. It suggests sacrifice. Human sacrifice to graven images.
We're ready to go now, Dr. Christian.
Oh, I'm coming, Judy. The boys can stay at my place tonight.
Good old Towser and Bowser.
Is Dr. Christian in?
Oh, we were just leaving.
Then come with me.
Somebody hurt?
Not yet, but there will be. Jack said he'd keep them out if he had to fight.
Oh, now get your breath, Nicky, so you can talk.
Yes, let's get this straight.
keep whom out of where?
My shop, where I've been developing my new process. If he sells out to that foreign agent, we'll fight.
Well, what are you talking about?
It's true. He's been looking things over all day with Mr. Halsey, talking about buying the works.
What do you mean, foreign agent? How can any foreign agent be operating here now?
One of the workmen at the plant who got out of Europe, he told us he had seen the man before with the Nazis. He's one of those international adventurers, I tell you, and he wants my process.
Good heavens! Have you warned Mr. Halsey?
Jack told him, and he only laughed. Now he's gone up to the house to sign the papers and drink to the deal. Mr. Halsey calls himself a citizen of the world. He'd sell out to the highest bidder.
Oh, Doctor, oughtn't we to call the FBI?
Not just yet, Judy. After all, we have no direct evidence of anything wrong. Nick and I will go over to the Halsey place and see what's what.
I don't want Diane's father to get into trouble, but...
Or maybe we can stop him from closing the deal. Well, the door's locked.
Don't ring. I still have my key.
We'll do the eavesdropping this time. And the living room by the grate.
Then you admit you represent foreign interests in this transaction.
I thought you understood. Your son told you what
I thought the boy had been reading too many spy stories.
I should have preferred to have kept my connections a secret, of course. But when I saw that Polish worker, I knew I was recognized and would have to act quickly. That's why I agreed to your terms without seeing the process demonstrated.
Oh, so that's what you want. Nicky's process.
The plant will be operated as usual under American management. Meanwhile, we will have that process. Since there is no patent as yet, it belongs to the company, which I am buying.
The boys will never let you have it.
That is up to you. I warn you, do not fail us. We do not like people who do not keep their bargains with us.
And I don't like people who bargain under false pretenses.
Our personal relations do not matter. You sign this bill of sale as you agreed, then see that you deliver all the property.
Well, the sale will be void when you are exposed.
I shall not be exposed. That foolish Pole who recognized me will be quietly taken care of.
You mean murder?
My dear sir, we are not so crude.
But my son and Nicky, they know too.
Perhaps you can persuade them to be reasonable.
No, I can't ask my son to be a party to such a transaction. I'll not do it myself. I refuse to sign anything.
I didn't expect sentimentality from you, Halsey.
Call it that if you like, but I'm not going to stand here in the house of my father and betray my own son.
Mr. Halsey, think again of the quiet haven you look forward to in South America, with money enough to live in luxury for the rest of your life, under the protection of a grateful power.
My son and his inventor are prepared to defend their process with their lives. I couldn't get it away from them if
Why
I wanted
to. Why go all over that ground again? You are the sole owner of the works and the process. I prefer to close the deal with you legally and quietly. If you are stubborn, well, there are other means.
Oh, well.
Get away from that telephone. Now sign the paper if you don't want a bullet through your heart.
Don't do it, Mr. Horse. Nicky, wait, be careful.
Stand where you are, you two. Now, get over there beside Halsey. That's right. So, you've been listening in, huh? Maybe you've saved me some time. You, young man, you are the one who knows the process. You'll give it to me.
No.
For a generous price.
Not for any price.
We shall see. We have ways. Get over to that desk and write out the formula.
You won't shoot me. Kill me and you can never get what you want.
We would find your notes in time.
Oh, no, you wouldn't. Jack and I destroyed everything on paper this afternoon.
So? Then we shall have to persuade you. You must come with me. We can make it well worth your while.
I'll not go one step with you.
No?
You will take your hands off that one.
Stay where you are, Halsey. I can manage this lad with one hand and keep you covered.
Let me go!
Look here, young man. I've tried to persuade you the civilized way. Now, if you want force...
Oh, no, you don't. Halsey, be careful. The gun. Quick. Duck out.
Yeah.
Drop that gun, you. I've got you. You're trying to bribe me.
Dad, what's going on here?
Let him up, Halsey. I've got the gun.
Huh? What?
Oh, hello, son.
Are you hurt, Dad?
No, though. I didn't see how that shot missed me.
You're swell, Mr. Halsey. We owe you an apology.
Not at all. Not at all. It was just that, well, in this house, it all comes over me suddenly that if you boys are willing to fight for what's yours against all comers, well, I couldn't be the one to let you down.
Thank you, Dad.
Spoken like a thoroughbred. Now then, everybody, what shall we do with our prospective purchaser here?
Turn him into the police.
Oh, I think I have a much better plan than that. Suppose you two boys escort him to my office. I want to have a little talk with him, and, well, when I'm through, I don't believe there will be any more need of official auction. Well, Steve, how are you feeling now?
I live. But you didn't tell me, Doctor, that I was letting myself in for such a pummeling.
I didn't know Halsey had it in him. The ghost, Judy.
Yes, Doctor.
Oh, those bruises aren't too serious, Steve. We'll fix you up so you can be on your way to Hollywood tonight, and thanks for helping us out.
Oh, what a pity there was no camera to record your greatest performance, Mr. Stevens. From the doctor's account, you were simply terrific.
Well, it was worth it if it brought Dr. Halsey to his senses. You know, I'm wondering, Dr. Christian, how you're going to explain things to him. The blank cartridge in the gun, for example. And the pole at the plant who conveniently recognized me just to do you a favor.
Oh, Dr. Christian could just say the FBI wanted the whole thing kept dark.
Oh, nonsense, Judy. I shall merely rely on the truth as usual. When I think the time is right, I'll tell T.L. Halsey the whole story.
Uh-huh. And I better stay out of River's End for life.
Don't worry. From what I saw of T.L. Halsey's reactions today, I would say he'll take the truth about the mysterious foreign agent right in his stride.
And the curtain comes down on another Dr. Christian prize play with our star, Gene Herschelt, waiting to greet you. Men, don't put up with dry scalp. If your hair is dry, unmanageable, if loose dandruff appears, if your scalp is tight and itchy, get right after any or all of those signs of dry scalp with Vaseline Hair Tonic. Yes, Vaseline Hair Tonic combats dry scalp, checks it easily, quickly, effectively. Vaseline Hair Tonic actually supplements natural scalp oils. Contains no alcohol or other drying ingredients. 5 drops a day, that's all. 5 drops of Vaseline Hair Tonic applied with comb or directly on the hair checks dry scalp, tames stubborn hair, keeps it perfectly groomed. Also, a brisk Vaseline Hair Tonic massage before each shampoo loosens dandruff, relieves itchy tightness. Remember, more bottles of Vaseline Hair Tonic are sold today than of any hair tonic in America. Vaseline Hair Tonic is one of the many Vaseline brand products made by the Cheesebro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline. If your druggist is temporarily out of the 40-cent size of Vaseline Hair Tonic, be wise. Get the 70-cent size. It's 3 times as big, saves you money. And now, here is Gene Herschel.
Thank you very much. The prize play you just heard was the work of Rebecca Bennett of Indianapolis, Indiana. Short story writer who entered radio writing through the Dr. Christian Awards, in which she has been a winner several times. We invite you to listen again next Wednesday evening to the Vaseline program, same time, same station. And until then, I'll say good night.
Suffering from spring hay fever? Rub a little Vaseline petroleum jelly in the nostrils to help keep pollen from irritating delicate nasal membranes. get gentle, soothing Vaseline petroleum jelly. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.